Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm here to talk with one of our authors from our July issue. The author's name is Linda Anderson, and Linda is a retired nurse living in Seattle. She worked for 7 years at a community hospital and for 27 years at an academic medical center before taking retirement. And Linda is the author of one of our CE features this month, and the CE feature is called Nursing Management of Patients with Ehlers-Danlos Syndrome. This syndrome, also called EDS, refers to a group of hereditary connective tissue disorders which together affect an estimated 1 in 5,000 persons worldwide. It's many times underdiagnosed because people aren't familiar with it, and it has a variety of manifestations. The most common one, and Linda, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is, for want of a better description, is super stretchy skin and very loose, hyper-mobile joints. Does that sound correct, Linda?
That is absolutely correct, Sean, and thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us. So the question I usually always ask authors I interview is, what made you write this article at this time?
Well, at this time, the reason I actually wrote this is I have the experience not only of being a nurse and taking care of patients, but also having Ehlers-Danlos syndrome myself that was not diagnosed until my mid-50s, just a couple of years before I retired from nursing. So,
and how when you were diagnosed, I mean, one of the issues around this syndrome is that it's not recognized. So how long, I mean, when did you start, what were your symptoms, and how long did it take you to get a diagnosis?
My symptoms began actually in childhood with clumsiness and chronic pain. The pain actually was not terrible when I was a child, but the clumsiness stayed with me. You know, I was never good in sports or athletics, and that continued throughout my life. Pain would come and go. I tended to injure myself very easily. I do not have too much problem with my skin issues. I have a lot of problems with my joints, and mm-hmm. So I would get strains and sprains and dislocations with very little, very little injury would mm-hmm. cause a major problem. But I didn't have too much trouble with it. It sort of had exacerbations and remissions, and I would have long periods of remissions for several years in my 20s until my early 30s. Starting in my early 30s, it seemed to have to escalate in terms of more frequent injuries, more catastrophic conditions. I had a colon rupture at one point. Unusual sorts of things, and I seem to be in and out of the hospital for something major approximately every 2 years. And at the time, nobody really knew what it was. Nobody really put the pieces together until I started doing some research myself when the pain and the fatigue became increasingly debilitating in my 50s. Mm-hmm. And thankfully for the Internet, you know, the Internet, it has good things and bad things, and one of the bad things is for a lot of people you don't always know what is credible information. But with my nursing background, I was able to actually go onto credible, you know, medical research, evidence-based sites and start to put the pieces together myself, and traveled in my mid-50s to a center where I met with a geneticist who did a family history and a physical exam, and I came with the diagnosis of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Mm. And in thinking back, this is probably what my father had. My father suffered for many, many years with severe chronic pain, but he did not believe in going to doctors, and so he never actually had a diagnosis. Mm. But we believe that's where it came from.
Yeah. Now tell me about what the pain was, because it's chronic pain. Was it diffuse and unspecific, or was it localized, or describe what the pain was like?
The pain, I call it, my own term for it is schizophrenic pain, because it travels. Mm-hmm. It's traveling pain, and it doesn't make a lot of sense because it does not always correlate to any activity that you've done. Sometimes I will have severe shoulder pain for 6 months, and then it will mysteriously disappear. And then I will have severe hip pain for 4 months, and then it will mysteriously disappear. I'm getting a better handle now on my pain levels and what kinds of things actually cause pain. One of the things that we've discovered with people with Ehlers-Danlos in talking to people in my support group is sometimes there's a tremendous delay of several days between a certain activity and the resulting pain. Mm-hmm. So you have to backtrack several days to see what you've done differently and know that that activity is likely to cause to cause a problem.
Mm-hmm. And for nurses who are listening, in the sense of having gone through this as a patient, but having your nurses head on to be aware and thinking about, you know, what's causing the pain and what's the pain like and how is it feeling and what's relieving it. What should nurses know in terms of a patient with EDS and the kinds of things that nurses should be thinking about to help these patients manage their pain and manage other manifestations of the disease?
I think there's two ways that nurses need to two things that nurses really need to think about in dealing with Ehlers-Danlos patients and potential Ehlers-Danlos patients. There's a little bit of a difference between the people that have been diagnosed and have educated themselves and are more familiar with what kinds of things they need to do to help their pain and to help their mobility and to keep various body parts from dislocating. There are certain positions that I have to be very careful about because I will dislocate a kneecap or a hip very easily. Mm. And so I have to make sure that when I'm in the hospital and being turned or positioned, I have to make sure that the nurse is going to believe me when I say, you can't just put, when I'm on my side, you can't just put pillows between my knees. You have to put them between my feet also. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if I have a foot dangling at all, it's going to pop out. And sadly, in my experience, a lot of nurses, that doesn't make sense to them, and they don't necessarily respect what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The other problem is the patients that have this condition but have never been diagnosed, and they don't know what's causing their pain, and they don't know why they keep having these injuries, and they're really suffering sort of in the darkness. And I think they look to healthcare providers, I know I did before my diagnosis, to help me figure this thing out. Because someone that's in their 20s or 30s should not be hospitalized with a major catastrophic injury from very little activity every year or two. You know, that should be a red flag that there's something going on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so an injury that results from or is disproportionate to what one would expect from the activity.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. I have dislocated a kneecap from standing up from a sitting position. Mm-hmm. I have dislocated a hip from walking, just taking a step. I know several people with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome that will dislocate a rib from turning over in bed. Hmm. And it's hard for people to understand, you know, what's going on. So nurses sometimes can be the front line people to perhaps suspect that maybe a connective tissue disorder might need to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. And just for a minute to talk a little bit about, I mean, we've been focusing on the connective tissue aspects of it, but there's some really very life-threatening vascular problems that can happen as well.
That is correct. I have one of the types of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is the vascular type, formerly known as type 4. And these people, the fragility, they have fragility in somewhat in their skin and their joints, but their major difficulty is fragility in their blood vessels and hollow organs. And frequently with these patients, they are not diagnosed until postmortem because not all cases, but often with people with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, experience sudden death from a vascular rupture, usually in their 20s or 30s.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time, first of all, to write the article. I think it's these are the kinds of articles where nurses may not ever come into contact with a patient, or at least they may think they have never come into a contact with a patient, but need to be aware, as you said, of the red flags to alert physicians and others to pursue further diagnostic tests. And I think often nurses are the ones where patients, especially if patients are kind of leery about being labeled or uncomfortable talking with physicians, will often tell nurses things that they will not tell physicians.
That's correct.
So for a nurse to be able to really kind of think with a degree of awareness that this syndrome exists and here are some of the hallmarks of it, I think this will be a very helpful article. And I really appreciate you taking the time to write the article and also to talk a little bit more and provide a little bit more context and highlight the major aspects of it.
It was my pleasure, Sean.
So thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.